ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Chapter 18, The Perfection of Renunciation, Text Number 607. Can you just check what's on there? Because he wants me to do a couple, no? 10, 11, 12? Yes. What did he write?
Okay,
10, 11,
and
12. 10, 11, and 12. Let me see. 10, 11, 12. Okay, I'll just go with 10. We'll just do all three of them, why not? Okay, please repeat. Na dveshti akushalam karma kushale na anushayate tyagi sattva samavishtaha medavi chinna sangsayaha na dveshtya kushalam karma kushale na anushayate Chagi sattva samavishto medavi china sangsaya nadvestya kushalam karma kushale nanu satyate Chagi sattva samavishto medavi china sangsaya nadvestya kushalam karma kushale nanu satyate chagi sattva samavishto medavi china sangsaya nadvestya kushalam karma kushale nanu satyate chagi sattva samavishto medavi china sangsaya Anybody else want to try, please? Yeah, it's basically just reading. It's just that you have to know what the diacritics mean, you see? Usually a dot under the S means shh. It's a little bit, you can look it up after the class. It's in the back. Like that one is from shine and the other one is from shh, from sprechen. The second one is like akusha lang. And then when you have a dot on the M, it becomes like in bon. You can just try it, it's not so important. Nadveshti akusha lang karma. Kushale nanu satyate. Chagi sattva samavishto medavi china sangsaya. You want to try? No? Okay, next time maybe. Please repeat word for word. Na, never. Dveshti, hates. Akushalam, inauspicious. Karma, work. Kushale, in the auspicious. Na, nor. Anusachyate, becomes attached. Chagi, the renouncer. Sattva, in goodness. Samavishtaha, absorbed. Medavi, intelligent. Chinna, having cut off Sangsayaha, all doubts. Translation. The intelligent renouncer, situated in the mode of goodness, neither hateful of inauspicious work, nor attached to auspicious work, has no doubts about work. Purport. A person in Krishna consciousness, or in the mode of goodness, does not hate anyone or anything which troubles his body. He does work in the proper place and at the proper time, without fearing the troublesome effects of his duty. Such a person situated in transcendence should be understood to be most intelligent and beyond all doubts in his activities. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Svayang Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandehang Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupang Sakrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Svitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Vrinda Vinishwari, Vishabhanu Sutadevi, Pranamami Haripriye, Panchakalpa Turubhyascha, Kripa Sindubhyebacha, Patitanam Pavnebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Nama, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadhara, Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Nadveshtya kushalam karma, kushale na nusachyate, chagi sattva samavishto, medavi china sangsayaha, chagi sattva samashisto. So chagi means the renouncer, who is, hold on, let me see. So nadveshti, he doesn't hate. Akushalam, inauspicious karma, akushalam karma, he doesn't hate that, and he also doesn't hate kushala, auspicious. And na nusajate, nor does he become attached to nor does he become attached, that's what it says. And then the intelligent renouncer situated in the mode of goodness. So that is that. Chagi sattva samavishto. So eleven and 12 also. Right. Chagi sattva samavishto. So when we repeat these verses, the idea is that you learn it. That's why this morning we didn't really repeat it, because it's like a prose. I mean, you can also learn it if you really learn it, because when it was recited, it was repeated by Sutta Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami was speaking this to Maharaj Pariksit, but then later Sutta Goswami, he repeated it to the sages in Amisharanya. So he remembered everything Sukadeva Goswami said. So they could remember. But for us, it's important that we remember the important stuff. We can, you know, and important here is chagi sattva samavishto, the renouncer in the mode of goodness, absorbed in the mode of goodness. Prabhupada translated beautifully, the intelligent renouncer situated in the mode of goodness. Because he says also, Krishna says also, medavi. There's this other verse in Bhagavatam. There's two verses actually with this word that I remember. Sumedasa. In Kali Yuga, persons are very, very disturbed. And then there's this other verse that people in this age, they chant Hare Krishna. You remember that verse? And they're Sumedasa. They're very, very, Su means like very. They're very intelligent. Anyway, I forgot it. We recited it, I think, this morning. But the translation is that in this age of Kali, I think it goes something like Kalau Dosha Nidhi, it's an ocean of faults, but there is one good quality, Mahagunan, that is the chanting of Hare Krishna. And intelligent persons, they engage in that chanting. Something like that. Maybe I'm mixing two verses, but at least it's in Bhagavatam, this word, Medhavi. So the intelligent renouncer situated in the mode of goodness. And Prabhupada says in the purport, a person in Krishna consciousness or in the mode of goodness does not hate anyone or anything which troubles his body. So the first point that Prabhupada makes here is that to me it seems that he equalizes a person in Krishna consciousness and a person in the mode of goodness. So what I understand from Prabhupada's teachings is that the mode of goodness is not really optional. You have to come to the mode of goodness. You can do devotional service in the mode of ignorance or in the mode of passion. It's possible, but we know, especially, well, the mode of ignorance is really not so good. But the mode of passion, you can get a lot of things done, but it doesn't last. Like they are called gunas, or qualities, but guna also means rope, and we can do questions later. Guna also means rope, and there's three main deities of the three gunas. Sattva guna is Vishnu, he's also called guna avatar. Raja guna, or the mode of passion, is Brahma. And Tamaguna is Lord Shiva. He's in charge of Tamaguna. Prabhupada always says that doesn't mean that Lord Shiva is in tamas. He's in charge of that guna, but he is not affected by it as we are affected by it. Like for instance, Shiva, he can drink poison, but we cannot drink poison. There's actually a story that he drank the poison of this. They were churning this ocean, and there came this poison, and Shiva, he drank it and he kept it in his throat. So many of followers of Lord Shiva, they smoke, but Prabhupada says that we shouldn't imitate Lord Shiva like that, because you can also not drink poison. So, but he is in charge of the mode of ignorance, and Brahma is in charge of the mode of passion, and Lord Vishnu is in charge of the mode of goodness. So similarly, in the universe also, you have like the bottom of the universe, it's the hellish planets, the lower planets. They're generally ruled by ignorance. And then the middle planetaries, which is where we are, is ruled by passion. So that is another thing. If you stay in passion, then you're going to get a human birth, most likely. And passion, it's actually quite a high level in one sense. Like, for instance, Kshatriyas, they are also more or less ruled by passion. Kshatriyas are the rulers and the warriors. They're very honorable, they're very strong, like that. But when they see some injustice, their blood starts to boil and they just have to do something. They cannot really control themselves. And the brahmanas, the priests, the priestly class, which is basically what we're trying to become, we're trying to become brahmanas, they are ruled by goodness. And the whole training here actually in ISKCON is mainly directed at that. Because Prabhupada says at the moment there is no brahmanas in society. It's non-existent. There's almost nobody in the mode of goodness. There's a few people in the mode of passion. Most people are ruled by either passion or ignorance or just plain ignorance. So it's like a body without a head. Plato also, he described it like that in the Politeia. He made like a comparison of the soul, and then he compared it with the body, or actually he compared it with the society. He was speaking about the whole society, and then he compared the society also with the body. That is also done in the Bhagavad Gita. They're comparing the sudras with the legs, the vaishyas or the economical class with the belly, the kshatriyas with the hands, the kshatriyas protecting, and the brahmanas with the head. So when there's no brahmanas, it's like a body without a head, or as we say in Holland, a chicken without a head. A chicken without a head is just, it's just walking. It can still walk around, like if you chop a chicken's head off. There's instances where it still walks around, but it's just basically dead, and it cannot see anything. It's just completely useless. So that's basically the way the society is in, because the governments generally, especially for instance in Holland, they're focused on economical things. Like if you look at the programs of the of the politicians, it's usually about economics. You vote for me because I will give you this economical advantage. And like that, generally the political, not all of them, you have like one party now, it's called the Party of the Animals. So, but I think this is also a little bit due to our movement, that people are becoming more and more aware that killing of animals is a very sinful thing. Of course, it's still very confused, but some goodness is coming gradually into the society, but it's still very much in passion and ignorance. Here, Prabhupada in the purport, he more or less equals the mode of goodness, a person in the mode of goodness, to a person in Krishna consciousness. Of course, a person in Krishna consciousness is supposed to be better than a person in the mode of goodness. A person in the mode of goodness basically is a brahmana. And Prabhupada says that a person who chants Hare Krishna, or actually Rupa Goswami says, he's actually better than a brahmana. A Vaishnava is better than a brahmana. But of course, we have to become a Vaishnava, and as far as I understand, to become a Vaishnava, you have to come to the mode of goodness. The trick is, however, that if you chant Hare Krishna, very quickly you will come to the mode of goodness. But quickly doesn't mean 1 week. Quickly means a couple of years. Because according to... especially now in India, things are very much based on the bodily concept. So this whole Varna Ashram system, that's what we're discussing now, which is what Krishna describes in the fourth chapter. It's also called the caste system, that is abused in India, and it's based on the bodily concept. And there is some truth in it, because if you are the son of a lawyer, you have a good chance to also become a qualified lawyer. Or if you are the son of, let's say an actor, you have a good chance to also become an actor. But it's not a guarantee. You hear sometimes sons of actors, they say, I had to really fight for it, for my career. It was not that I just called my father's name and I, So it's based on quality. This is common sense. But in India, they say, if you're born as a priest, as a brahmana, you're a priest. If you're born as a sudra, as a lower caste, then you remain a sudra. You're a sudra. You cannot change anymore. So like I said, there is some truth in it. Because I just explained that if you have good association, then the chances that you get those qualities, but it's not a guarantee. And that is actually what we are trying to build here. We're trying to build a society for good association, and then if you associate with good people, then you also become good, and that's the idea. And like I said, if you associate with Krishna, who is the best person, and you associate with his name, which is non-different from Krishna, this is the nature of God, that is absolute. His name and his form and himself are non-different. So when you chant his name, you directly associate with him, and you also become very good, become very pure. And this is the idea. But we actually have to get to that level of goodness. Otherwise, we cannot advance very quickly. And that is here this wonderful Sanskrit. Chagi sattva samavi sto. The renouncer in goodness, who is absorbed in goodness, the intelligent renouncer, Chagi sattva samavi sto medavi. And then Krishna ends, Chinna sangsaya. He cuts off all the doubts. He has no doubts about work. And what is that work? He's neither hateful of inauspicious work nor attached to auspicious work. He has no doubts about work. So this is all about Arjuna, of course, who doesn't want to work. He doesn't want to fight. He doesn't want to do his duty. And he thinks it's inauspicious to kill his family. But the intelligent renouncer, he is neither hateful of inauspicious work nor attached to auspicious work. Because he said, let me just take sannyas. I'll just leave the battlefield, which is generally auspicious. But that was... false auspiciousness, like a confusion, because he had to do his duty. So it appeared good, but Krishna is explaining here, if you're intelligent, then you have no doubt about work, you have no doubt about what you have to do, about your duty. So he's telling Arjuna, and actually he's telling us, of course, because Arjuna actually already knows. He's just, for our sake, he's sort of playing that he's in confusion. So it's for our sake that we have to know what is inauspicious and auspicious work. And a person in the mode of goodness or a person in Krishna consciousness, he knows that. He does not hate anyone or anything which troubles his body. So this is important. Like for instance, we have Haridas Thakur. He was caned in so many marketplaces, 21 or 29, I forgot. And he didn't care. And there's so many devotees that we can give examples that didn't care about their own bodies. You have, for instance, King Rishabh. He was just laying around like a python. And whatever food came, he would eat. And he would just lay around in his own stool. Of course, Prabhupada explains that his stool would smell like roses. So many people have imitated. Actually, this is where the Jains come from. They are a very famous sect now. They come from this Rishabh. It's like a speculation. Sort of a offshoot of King Rishabh. Because he wasn't doing anything. He wasn't eating anything. Well, he was eating a little bit, but whatever came naturally. And he was just, you know, almost living like a plant, like a python. But Prabhupada says you should not imitate this unless your stool also smells like roses. It's like, it's very high level. It's basically the highest level of love of God. Because he was completely absorbed in Krishna. He does work in the proper place and at the proper time without fearing the troublesome effects of his duty. Again, here Prabhupada also is explaining what Krishna is trying to say to Arjuna. Such a person situated in transcendence should be understood to be most intelligent and beyond all doubts in his activities. Yeah, so he works in the proper place and at the proper time without fearing the troublesome effects of his duty. So basically he works for Krishna. He's not attached to the result. And we have to work in the proper place at the proper time. Like the proper time, like if you're too late, it's basically, in one sense you could say it's mode of ignorance. And if you're too early, you're like, okay, I'm here. It's like the mode of passion. You have to be on time. That's goodness. Like with musicians. Musicians have to be exactly on time. Otherwise it doesn't work. He can be too fast, then he's speeding up the band. That is passion. Or he can be in ignorance. He just woke up and he's too slow. Then he's dragging the band. He has to be exactly on time. So it's just an example. But the mode of goodness means you know what to do in the proper place and the proper time. So are there any questions on this verse? It's quite deep, but it's also quite straightforward. We don't have so much time, so I'll just read through the second verse. Nahideha brita sakyam chaktum karmanya se shataha yastu karma vlachagi sa chagichi abhidiyate. Please repeat. Never. He... certainly, deha brita, body embodied, shakyam, is possible, chaktum, to be renounced, karmani, activities, asheshataha, altogether, yaha, anyone who, to, but, karma, of work, phala, of the result, chagi, the renouncer, saha, he, chagi, the renouncer, iti, thus, abhidiyate, is said. Translation, it is indeed impossible for an embodied being to give up all activities, but he who renounces the fruits of action is called one who has truly renounced. Purport. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that one can never give up work at any time. Therefore, he who works for Krishna and does not enjoy the fruit of results, who offers everything to Krishna, is actually a renouncer. There are many members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness who work very hard in their office or in the factory or some other place, and whatever they earn, they give to the society. Such highly elevated souls are actually sannyasis and are situated in the renounced order of life. It is clearly outlined here how to renounce the fruits of work and for what purpose fruits should be renounced. So, Prabhupada, he created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness solely for one thing, which is pure devotional service. And pure devotional service, one of the descriptions of pure devotional service is that we give all the fruits to Krishna. We do everything completely for Krishna. And that is what Prabhupada is describing here. He says there are many members of the Internet Society for Krishna Consciousness who work very hard in their office or in the factory or some other place, and whatever they earn, they give to the society. Especially in the beginning, this was very much done, because then we were building the temples, and so much money was needed, and people working outside, and they were actually giving everything. Generally, it's recommended to give 50%. This is like, it's basically the standard that, that Prabhupada gave us. It's pretty austere, but therefore Prabhupada calls these, he says, such highly elevated souls are actually sannyasis. Sannyasi means a renouncer, and are situated in the renounced order of life, which is basically what sannyas means. It is clearly outlined here how to renounce the fruits of work and for what purpose fruits should be renounced. So, yeah, the first point is that we cannot give up all activities. This is what many so-called yogis, they preach, and especially also Buddhists. You have to give up everything. You just meditate. Sometimes they say Om, which is a good thing, because it's a sound representation of Krishna. But basically they say, just think of nothing. Maybe not all the time, but that is ultimately what it boils down to. And that is really not possible, to think of nothing. Because even nothing is something. Because you're going to go like, okay, I'm going to think of nothing. And even nothing, even if it, you somehow or other make it to think of nothing, then it's still something. That's why you call it nothing. So nothing really, it doesn't exist. I mean, ultimately what they aim for, practically, is called the Brahma Jyoti, which is the impersonal Brahman, the impersonal aspect of Krishna. And it's explained in the Brahma Samhita, this light that emanates from his body. And it actually consists of unlimited jivas. The light are all different souls. So what they can do, if they reach perfection, they can become part of that light. But it's very, very difficult. But that is not our constitutional position. Our constitutional position is to serve Krishna. And ideally, in the spiritual world, Sat-Chit Ananda Vigra, with an eternal body full of bliss and knowledge. That is our constitutional position. The souls who are part of the Brahma Jyoti, the impersonal light, the impersonal Brahman, they have some ananda, some bliss, but mainly, they are eternal. They have an eternal life, or because they're part of the spiritual world, and they are full of knowledge, but they don't really have the full bliss, because the full bliss comes from relationships and loving relationships, and that the real loving relationship can only be done with God, or in you know, either directly or indirectly. Because as soon as you take God out of the picture, it is actually called Maya. Maya means that which is not. If you think about it, well, first of all, of course, you have to understand that there is a God. But I assume everybody here understands that. It's not so difficult to understand. Everything has a cause. There's so many, you know, ways to understand that there is a God. But once you've accepted that, then you can understand that if you deny God, if you want to try to have a lot, because some people, they believe in God, like many Christians, but then they want to have kind of a loving relationship and then not really put God inside that. They go to the church and then they switch off, they go in another mode. Like some people say, I have my private life and I have my my work life, my professional life. So that is actually Maya, because ultimately everything is Krishna's energy. Everything comes from Krishna. So there's really nothing, there's no place where you can go outside Krishna. The only place that is sort of outside of Krishna is what I just described. And that is why actually what these Buddhists do and these kind of yogis, it's called spiritual suicide. You have suicide, you kill the body, but they're actually killing the soul. Because they don't want to have anything to do with Krishna. It's also called the last snare of Maya. you figured out that this world is fake. There is no enjoyment here. They've renounced sex enjoyment. They've renounced power. They've seen that this world is nonsense. It's temporary. But then there's the last snare of mind. They think that I am God. And it's actually born out of this envy. They want to be God. You see, you're God, I'm God, we're all God. And we can become one with God. We're all one. We're all part of a big, you know, entity. And so when they enter that Brahma Jyoti, they give up everything. They give up their body, they give up their ego, everything. They enter that. And then there's basically nothing. It's just light. So there's no Krishna there. I mean, there is, like I said, it's part of Krishna's light, but it's impersonal. Like here in the world, there's people like us, like Jesus, like Muhammad, they're saying Krishna. They're saying God, you surrender to, there's always some reminder. But there is nothing. There's no Jesus, there's no Muhammad, there's no Narada Muni, there's no Bhagavad Gita. So these people are actually, in one sense, they're very, very envious of God. And, you know, I'm not proud of it, but I also used to be a little bit like that. In fact, most of us were like that. Prabhupada says, I came here, nirvishesha shunyavadi, to preach against this nirvishesha, kind of mayavadi, and sunyavadi, this nothingness, which is like the Buddhist philosophy, that everything is sunya, everything is empty. So that is basically false renunciation. You cannot really not work, because the moral of the story is that ultimately these souls, they will have to come back because it's boring, and it's called the adiras, the original relation, the original rasa or taste, is this basically the sex desire. So because of that, they generally fall down. And sex desire can be very broad. It can be, you know, like Brahma, he is creating the universe. This is also kind of a sex desire, to the urge to create things. But the devotee, he doesn't have that urge, because he gives up all fruits. This only urge is to serve Krishna. And that is ultimately the original urge of the soul, to serve Krishna. But when we don't do that, then all these things become perverted. And that is what you experience right now in the material world. Okay, is there any question on this verse? It is indeed impossible for an embodied being to give up all activities. So that I explained. But he who renounces the fruits of action is called one who is truly renounced. So it's not so easy, but we have to renounce the fruits of our action. And that's what Prabhupada explaining in the purport, that people that have jobs, but they give all their money to the ISKCON, to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness.
This is also more aspect.
Yeah, so pride, and you can maybe, I don't know, be a temple president, you don't get any money, but you're very proud. So you think, oh, I'm the president, and you enjoy that. Right. Older. Right. Yeah, the thing is, I mean, it sounds a little bit hippie-like, but we basically want to be loved. And like I said, it becomes perverted. So then in the beginning, like he's explaining, we want to become loved by the opposite sex. And then when we get older, then those desires, they sort of they change, and then we want to get sort of, Prabhupada calls it extended selfishness. We want to get loved by other people, that, oh, you're so good, and we want to have that exchange. But the power of Krishna consciousness is that Prabhupada explains that we can have that exchange with Krishna. It is possible. This deity here, Radha Gopinath, they're actually there. Radha Gopinath is there. But we cannot yet experience that so much because we're conditioned. But we can actually, if we follow this process purely, we can actually experience that Radha and Krishna are here with us. And we can have these exchanges with them. And of course, we can also have these exchanges with devotees. But it's something from inside the heart. These things can be experienced. And then all these other things, they're not important anymore. It's like if you have $1 million, you know, then $10 and $100 and $1,000 is included. If you feel that Krishna loves you, you're not looking anymore for other people to love you. I mean, it's not part of your, like he's saying, like of your drive. Your drive is to make sure that Krishna loves you and that he's pleased with you. Or like we say, the spiritual master, because that is actually the representative of Krishna. This is actually to make it easier. You know, because in the beginning, like I said, it's difficult because we are conditioned. We think, you know, this is matter, we are this body. So then Krishna, he sends his external manifestation, which is the spiritual master. And then gradually by training, we can actually perceive more and more the super soul, and we can hear, you know, what Krishna wants us to do. But in the beginning, we might think it's a super soul, but it's actually our mind. And we might do the wrong thing. So that is why we need the spiritual master and other Vaishnavas, and we can check, should I do it like this or should I do it like that? And actually every single thing should be checked. Especially, because we were just talking about ashrams, especially changing of ashram, that you always have to check with others. Anyway, I want to get to the last verse, if that's all right. Anything else? Okay. I'll just quickly read through it. Anishtam ishtam mishram cha trividam karmanavalam bhavatya tyaknam pretya natu sanyasinam kvachit. Anishtam, leading to hell. Ishtam, leading to heaven. Mishram, mixed. Cha, and. Trividam, of three kinds. Karmanaha, of work. Phalam, the result. Bhavati, comes. Ajaginam, for those who are not renounced. Pretya, after death. Na, not. Tu, but. Sanyasinam, for the renounced order. Kvachit, at any time. Translation. For one who is not renounced, the threefold fruits of action, desirable, undesirable, and mixed, accrue after death. But those who are in the renounced order of life have no such results to suffer or enjoy. Purport. A person in Krishna consciousness, acting in knowledge of his relationship with Krishna, is always liberated. Therefore, he does not have to enjoy or suffer the results of his acts after death. For one who is not renounced, the threefold fruits of action, desirable, undesirable, and mixed, accrue after death. Accrue means accumulate. Like that, or it doesn't really mean accumulate, but it means it appears. And that word accumulate isn't there. It's like you do something good. Oh, what is that word? Akrad. Right, growing. Very good. So you do something bad, and then after that you take the phala. Phala means fruit. Patram puspam phalam toyam. Maybe you've heard of this verse. You can offer me a fruit. Phala means fruit. So here also it's called phalam, is the result. So we have to give up the result, the fruits of action. For one who is not renounced, the threefold fruits of action, desirable, undesirable, and mixed, accrue after death. But those who are in the renounced order of life have no such result to suffer or enjoy. And Prabhupada explains it. A person in Krishna consciousness acting in knowledge of his relationship with Krishna is always liberated. So if you act in knowledge of your relationship with Krishna, then you're always liberated. This is also confirmed by Krishna in the seventh chapter? Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvata. You should know that my janma, my birth and my karma are divyam, transcendental. You should know that in truth. Chaktva deham punar janma neti. Then if you leave your body, your deha, then chaktva deham punar janma neti. You don't have to again take birth. Punar means again. Janma means birth. Na means not. Punar janma na. You don't have to take birth again. If you janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvata. If you know this truth about me, that my birth and my activities, my karma, are transcendental. So that is, in one sense, it's a very easy thing if you compare it to what yogis have to do, standing on their head, doing this, that. It's basically just listening. We have so many books, specifically this book called Nectar of Devotion. It explains the whole science of bhakti yoga. And you just have to read it. Reading actually is also considered listening. You just have to read it, and then you understand more and more about Krishna. And then if you start doing devotional service, especially in a temple where there is, where Krishna is actually present, then you start more and more see what is your relationship. In fact, Ayendra, he explained it, that we have this book called Krishna, or Krishna book, and there's all these stories of Krishna. So he said that if you like a particular story of that book, then there is a chance that that might be your relationship with Krishna. Of course, it's not 100% sure, but it gives you an indication. So just by coming in touch with Krishna and reading about Krishna more and more, and by serving Krishna, this relationship that you have with him will be revealed. And of course, ultimately also, we don't have to make it too complicated, because our relationship is very clear. We're a servant. That's basically all we need to know. The CIA calls it on a need-to-know basis. So Krishna consciousness also works on a need-to-know basis. All we need to know now, basically, is that we are servant. And that is already difficult enough for most of us. We just have to serve Krishna, you know, and that will purify us. And if we do that, then we automatically give up the fruits. We will not get attached, because we will see it. Everything belongs to Krishna. And Krishna will take care of me. He also says that, yoga kshema vajami aham. I will preserve what you have, I will carry what you lack. This is Krishna's promise. But it takes some faith, shraddha. And it has to develop stronger and stronger and stronger. And one of the things, how it becomes stronger, is by sadhu sangha, by association with devotees. And then the next stage is you start following very strictly the rules and regulations, and culminating in surrendering to a spiritual master. And then, after that stage, when you start really following, then you get this stage of anartha nivritti. Artha means valuable things, anartha means unwanted things. And that is generally the stage where most devotees get stuck. We have these anarthas culminating in sex desire, and it's very difficult to give it up. But just by following this sadhana bhakti, this rules and regulation, gradually we can purify it. We can, as it said, transcend it. It is possible. But you have to fully apply yourself, because it's very powerful, you know, this energy. So, but it's possible. Okay? Any more questions? Yeah, the full term is anartha nivritti. And it means giving up anarthas. Yeah. So artha means valuable, And anartha means unwanted things. So he was also describing like hate and pride and prestige. These are anarthas we have in our hearts, and we have to give up these things. You see? And the process is sadhana bhakti that will bring you to that stage, and it will also push you through that stage. And then after that you get like, I think it's called asakti, you get real attachment for Krishna. It becomes stronger and stronger, and all the while the shraddha will become more powerful, this faith will become more powerful. And that is also why we need to listen to these classes, morning and evening, because then our faith will also increase. Because we're conditioned, the soul, the mind, actually not the soul, the mind, he just wants to enjoy. And every day the mind says, no, this Krishna consciousness, it's not true, it's not. And every day you have to hear it, that no, you are an eternal soul, you're not this body, and you're conditioned. And then when you hear it, then gradually your faith will increase.
So artha is good quality.
Now artha means like money.
Artha.
Yeah. And anartha means unwanted things. It's not completely clear, because I think it's a very difficult subject matter, and I'm not sure if it's like, I mean, I understand what you're saying and I agree with it, but it's not completely clear for me how this exactly works, because we have to be careful that we don't say that we're like running around in the mode of passion or even ignorance. And we're saying, no, but I'm distributing books, I'm transcendental. You know, because we've seen many people like that. And they said, no, I'm transcendental, and many of them left. So, that's why I'm a little bit warning about this, and in the beginning I also stress this point, that generally ISKCON is for Brahmanas, it's for training of Brahmanas. That's the main thing. And we expand, of course, and we can, like Prabhupada talked about, Varnashram College, and we can train up anybody. But who's training up? The Brahmanas are training. That is not what Krishna says. No, but this is not what Krishna says. Krishna says it is according to guna and karma, according to your quality and your activity. Those two things decide in which varna you are. Not your birth. Right. No, it can change. Somebody can be born in a so-called Sudra family, but if he has the qualities and the activities of a Brahmana, he's considered a Brahmana. I said it's I don't think it's very I don't think it's like, you know, I don't think these things are actually very clear at the moment. I think it needs some more thought. You present it like it's ice cream or something. It's like very simple. I don't think it is. Prabhupada actually said, I didn't really establish this so much. He said, I gave you 50%. And this is something he didn't really establish so much. And it's something we have to be very mindful of. And I think we have to be careful in just saying it's like this or it's like that. That's why I'm saying, I don't disagree with what you said. I think it's true. But then I repeated what I said in the class. You know, I'm trying to preach, so I'm stressing certain things that I think we should be mindful of. Because like I said, I've seen many people and they said, no, I'm actually acting transcendental, but it was just passion. And we should not try to act in this passion. And many people in ISKCON, they're twice initiated. Prabhupada says, if you're twice initiated, you should, for instance, take at least 2 showers a day or 3 showers a day. But people that were doing Sankirtan, they were just, yes, 3 showers a day, yes. And people doing Sankirtan, they were just saying, no, it's okay. And Prabhupada said, if you go on Sankirtan, you have to do the morning program. But then gradually, people were more and more into kind of making money and they're becoming like Vaishyas. And it wasn't sustainable. And then they ultimately left. So you can sell books, which is a Vaishya activity, but you have to do it in the mode of goodness. Right. Right.
This is what I mean. So even a person working in the field, as a teacher, if you have like all of those principles, then I would prefer to die and make it the best way possible. And I would feel in life, style, and give you more goodness. And from the position of humanness and inside of happiness, reach the level of goodness and become Krishna conscious. And be the Brahmana by realization, not by be a teacher.
Yeah, you know, of course, of course. And you know, I mean, like you said, anybody can be Krishna conscious. You know, but anyway, I think it needs more discussion. I think we need more thought. I think these things, for me at least, it needs more discussion. Maybe for you it's clear, but I don't. It's possible, but for me, it's not very clear, this. You know, but what is clear, at least for me personally, that I definitely want to go to the mode of goodness. For me personally, it's very clear that I have to come to the mode of goodness. I don't see it as an option. So I don't know about others. Maybe they have other desires or other ambitions, but for me, I can see that I cannot really follow spiritual life unless I go to the mode of goodness. Yeah, but you're saying it's not really necessary. Oh. Yeah. But there's different rules for different varnas, you know. No, I think it's the same. That's a very nice point, yeah.
While you practice Krishna consciousness, it will help you.
What I don't. Right. No, but that is also what I, the way I understood it. You know, that Krishna ISKCON is a place, and you come in, and like if I talk about myself, I was very much in ignorance and passion, and then gradually I'm rising to goodness. No. Yeah. Exactly. But just by chanting and following the process, you know. And you know, another point is that the varnas, they are there to, you know, broaden the field. But where it gets kind of complicated for me is that what you're saying, that once you're transcendental, it doesn't matter which varna you are, and you can still reach the perfection. In other words, a sudra or a kshatriya or a vaishya, they can all reach the perfection. Krishna says that also. He says, Vaishya, Sudras, they can also come to me. You see, but how that practically exactly works, I don't know, because I am not very Krishna conscious. So I don't know what kind of a mindset a 100% Krishna conscious Sudra has. You know, you're implying that he's also taking 3 showers a day. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't, maybe he does, I don't know. What I do know is that it's possible. What I also know is that, and that was my main point, that is that ISKCON, as far as I understand, it's mainly for training of brahmanas. That's the main thing. It's not that we stop anybody, but we're looking at the intelligent people to come forward. Yeah, and those, ultimately, it's ambitious, but that's what Prabhupada said. They have to lead the society. We have to lead the society. We have to become so pure and so qualified that people will come to us. It's already happening on a very small scale, but that's ultimately what needs to happen. We have to become independent, have our own, like now we're building a garden, we're starting cows, we need to be independent, and then gradually people will come and they will ask for advice. That's the idea. And then we can start training kshatriyas, vaishyas, sudras. How that exactly works? I mean, I think you make very good points, but I don't know. So my question is that I don't really understand, you know, because I agree what she says, that you come in and then you just by chanting, basically, to summarize it, you come to the mode of goodness. No, I'm just summarizing it. I mean, chanting is the main thing and then everything changes from there. But, you know, a sudra is... You're implying he's in the mode of goodness. I don't know how that exactly works. Yeah, that's how we come in, basically, when we start... Sudra means like a low class, like a servant, like... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but here's where it gets confusing for me. What if the other person that leaves his job, like messy, he's actually a devotee and he's chanting Hare Krishna, and the other person, he doesn't know anything about Krishna. He's just a sattvic person. And Prabhupada says that other person who's chanting Hare Krishna is actually better. Oh, okay. Because like she's saying, that other person will ultimately also come up to that mode of goodness. You see? Yeah, just by chanting. Yes, yes. Well, from chanting it, that will come. Because chanting means, please let me apply myself and work. That's what the prayer means. Yeah, you're praying to be engaged, to do the endeavor. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no. Right. No, no, but the chanting, from the chanting you will want to work. That's the point. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so that was my question. My question was, you know, how do you reconcile that somebody is like in a Kshatriya mood or Vaishya mood, but they're not really in goodness. But if they act for Krishna, they're fully transcendental. So how do you see that? How does that work? No, exactly. Yeah. Right. Oh, so you're saying that banana leaf seller was also sattvic? Yeah, so the
it's like lying, it's not good in a sense, but if Krishna puts you in a situation where you have to lie, then you do it.
If you see the Mahamaya, Mahamaya is the same energy. Different connection. The decent energy works in the same way. If a devotee has had a man to kill someone, the meaning of the energy is the same. But if one devotee kills someone, externally it would be the same, but it is not because it's transcendental. But the world acts in the same nature.
But Arjuna was also in passion, no? You can't just... Yeah. I mean...
Because anger and fight is in by passion, by love.
He was angry, no? How you can fight without anger? So, but... So then, right, but then you're not affected by that? By that anger? Yeah. Right. Okay, well, tomorrow we hear more from Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and even also Sunday, so we'll stop for now, and we'll ask him more questions tomorrow. So, and I, like I said, I think this is a good discussion, and I think it should be an ongoing discussion. It's a little bit more clear for me, at least. And I think also the more we advance, the more clearer it will become. For me, it's a little bit hazy still. But anyway, we can discuss more tomorrow. Now we can do maybe some bhajan. Anybody wants to sing Hare Krishna? Maybe we should ask Hare Krishna Chaitanya, no? Well, if there's anybody else, you want to chant? Okay. So, thank you very much, Hare Krishna.